You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right. Very glad to have you with us. We've got a big show for you. Carol Markowitz, normally with us or earlier in the week, is going to join us today. Also, Ari Zolden, who sometimes is with us for a Tuesday edition, is going to give us a tech update today. And we're going to take a look at CRT as it's trying to make its way into your classroom. Plus, breaking news right now. Stay with us.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing a role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, welcoming you to the Thursday edition. We have got a very interesting day in front of us, friends, because we're going to kind of cover the entire gamut of topics. We're going to talk about kids in schools and the importance of what the back to school means, particularly in the public schools here in New York City. Carol Markowitz is going to discuss that with us. Ari Zolden is going to break down some new trends in technology that are, I think one of them's fairly encouraging, actually. And so I'm hopeful that you'll find that the same. And then the kind of the bad news, CRT is working its way very, very methodically, trying to get into your schools and what they're trying to do with your kids. Adam Waldeck will be with us, and we're going to discuss that with him. But I have to deal with this. We didn't deal with it sufficiently yesterday. We touched on it with Kelsey Bowler. But I have to deal with this story of General Milley, Mark Milley, who for some unexplainable reason decided in the waning days of the Trump administration to at least what we're being told now can be documented are two phone calls to China. Now, as these are being broken down, there's kind of a division being, you know, kind of leveled between the two, that one of them is kind of normal, the other one is not. That one of them is kind of standard operating procedure, the other one is a grotesque abuse of his power if it goes down the way it has been described in the book by Bob Woodward. Now, just a word on that for a second. Bob Woodward has made a career of breaking stories with insider information about things related to the executive branch. You may remember the movie All the President's Men. That was about Watergate, and he had, you know, Deep Throat, and Deep Throat was giving him all this information, and they were able to basically force a president to resign for bad behavior. That was what they were able to ultimately accomplish. No one is suggesting that the president needs to resign over what General Milley does or has done or is being accused of doing. But certainly there are a lot of people that believe that if it happens to be true, the very minimum for General Mark Milley is resignation. If what is being described as having happened actually happened, that what more likely should be a just outcome is for him to be court-martialed from the United States military. And President Trump claimed yesterday that he was completely in the dark as to General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, speaking to his Chinese counterpart in the final months of his administration. This is what the former president said exactly. Milley never told me about calls being made to China. From what I understand, he didn't tell too many other people either. He put our country in a very dangerous position, but Chinese President Xi knows better and would have called me. General Milley's contacts with a top Chinese military official are detailed in the forthcoming book co-authored by Bob Woodward. Now, let me just because I had an interesting conversation with Bill O'Reilly yesterday about this, and he doesn't buy it at all, nor do some former senators like Al D'Amato of New York State. But let me couch all that by saying this. There is tremendous amount of credibility for General Milley to lose if this ends up being true. That is true. So there might be some desire by a reporter to get him and to play the gotcha moment to make a name for themselves. I don't think that Bob Woodward generally falls into that category. I feel like that generally speaking, Bob Woodward has made his living and just does what he does. But let me also add, if he's lying about this, if he is misrepresenting something in his book that is not how the historical record portrays it, and from what I understand, it is likely that Bob Woodward received the phone call logs of these phone calls through FOIA or some other process, and that he can document the calls. Now, if he's also able to do that, is it possible that he was able to FOIA the transcripts of the calls and have the actual substance of the calls be provable as well? If that is in fact what reporter Bob Woodward has done, that he subpoenaed or FOIA'd or whatever the process was to get the transcripts of the calls between General Milley and the Chinese counterpart, and they prove what Woodward asserts in his book, then General Milley has to resign. He has to be, according to some, court-martialed. He has to be dealt with in a way that brings about justice for America. Now, yesterday you had people dismissing this out of hand, saying this is nothing. All generals do this. This doesn't really mean anything. And friends, I just got to tell you, that's just not true. That's just plain not true. There are two things asserted in the book. One is that he said to the Chinese counterpart, you know, we're not attacking. Don't go into a defensive posture, blah, blah, blah. Trying to clear the air of one specific impression that was happening. That would likely be true if we were trying to calm nerves, if there was something miscommunicated, etc. And that would be normal. That would be a normal thing for a general to do. It's the second phone call and the second point of substance that's under debate, which is, did General Milley say to his Chinese counterpart, and if we go into a hostile position, if we go into an offensive preparation, if we are going to challenge you in the seas near Taiwan, if we're going to do something that's going to be concerning to you, I will call, I will alert, I will message, I will do something that tips you off, lets you know, gives you some sort of understanding of what's happening. If he did that in any way, if he said that he would basically tell the people that we were going to take national security action against, if he implies, if he leaves it with the impression of, if there is any form of a hint that he's saying that he's going to let them know, tip them off, give them the information ahead of time of some way so that they can then take a defensive position and you know, be at the ready, then he hasn't just committed a court-martial offense. He hasn't just broken protocol. He hasn't just gone beyond etiquette. He's committed treason. He has provided aid, comfort, knowledge, and information for the other, for the opposing nation. If this is what he's promised, that's what it is. It's nothing short of that. So at the very least, what needs to happen, and this was widely accepted yesterday, and I'm hoping that it does happen quickly, is that you need to have defense oversight committees, foreign affairs oversight committees in the Senate, in the House, hearings yesterday. Milley on the record, sworn oath for all things said. He needs to be confronted with the words from the actual transcripts of his phone call, and he needs to give an account for what he meant and what he is saying in the very text of those messages. And if it doesn't match up, then action needs to be taken. Probably should be dismissed. Maybe he needs to be put on trial. We'd have to find out. Interestingly enough, while all of this is bubbling up, yesterday the UK, Australia, and the United States pledging submarines for Australia in the South Pacific so that they can better protect their shoreline from a potentially hostile China, but also for any interference in Taiwan. Very, very interesting news development as we closed out the day yesterday. And anything that develops on that in the days to come, we will certainly be bringing Gordon Chang back soon to talk about all of this. And I hope that he's able to join us sooner than later. Anyway, that's the latest. Kevin McCullough, when we come back, Carol Markowitz goes right after the people, the schools, the ones that are trying to manipulate your kids' experience this fall. She's with us next. Don't go away. Hi, Kevin McCullough. My friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their life. You know that. But he didn't stop at just creating the best pillow. Now Mike has gone and done it again by introducing his My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this technology. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoor or out all day long, made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and they're made with quality leather suede. I know, I'm wearing mine right now. For a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable, you'll want to get some for the whole family. So call 800-651-0798 and use promo code WMCA. Or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code WMCA. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 800-651-0798 and use promo code WMCA.
Is it time to push reset and get away with God? Christian travel creates purposeful pauses to discover the most scenic, sought-after destinations while you immerse yourself in the wonder of God's creation. As you travel alongside the world's top Christian leaders, every step of the way will revive your faith and awaken your sense of wonder. Imagine morning devotions on the deck of a cruise ship as you pass towering Alaska glaciers or tropical Caribbean islands. Perhaps you're longing to set foot in the very places where Jesus walked and taught in Israel. Every day on a Christian cruise or tour brings you to new vistas while you enjoy uplifting music and powerful messages. Get away with God in a faith-focused journey, and the unforgettable memories you create will refresh you long after you return home. For more information, visit InspirationCruises.com or call 800-247-1899. That's InspirationCruises.com or call 800-247-1899.
AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA. Listen online at WMCA.com, tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, every week we get a up-close and personal answer from Mike Connors on a very real question from one of you. And grateful for Jack's question this week. He says, "Dear Mike, can I put my IRAs in a trust?" Mike Connors?
Technically, no. Because if you take your, let's say it's assuming a traditional IRA, if you put it in the trust, it's going to be a taxable event. You're going to pay income taxes at that moment. But at the same time, if you want to, you can leave a trust as beneficiary of the IRA. Now, why would you do that if you have a disabled child or a disabled relative you're leaving assets to, you don't want to manage it? But let's say you have children under the age of 18 and you want to leave the IRA to them, then you would name the trust as beneficiary and you put somebody else in charge until the kids are whatever age, 21, 25, 30.
But it essentially accomplishes what the guy's asking for, right?
Right. You can't put the IRA into the trust, but you can have the IRA as beneficiary of the trust. The trust is beneficiary of the IRA.
Right. No, that seems to make sense. And friends, maybe that helps solve a problem for you, or maybe you have a completely different issue. Please make sure that you send your questions to Ask Mike Connors. You can do that at AskMikeConnors@gmail.com. You can also ask the lawyer Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock on AM 570 and FM 102.3, The Mission, WMCA, where he has his own radio broadcast. And, of course, on Sunday mornings at 11 on AM 970, The Answer, as well. And if you'd like to, make an appointment to get your questions answered in person. 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. Of course, Connors and Sullivan comes with the McCullough Family Series of approval. We've done all of our end-of-life planning with them, and I recommend everyone use Connors and Sullivan. 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500. Mike, as always, we appreciate the help.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you got lower back pain, neck pain, upper back pain, even sciatica, maybe completely debilitated from walking due to the amounts of pain in your back, then you need to talk to my great friend, Dr. Melinda Keller. As the director of the Brooklyn Spine Center, she specializes in that non-surgical spinal decompression. And what I love about Dr. Keller is that she's committed to eradicating the pain, not with scary injections or surgery, but she wants to make sure your spine is healthy. She gives you a complete diagnosis. And if you have a bulging disc, spinal stenosis, sciatica, or herniated disc, she is going to point you in an all-natural direction first that will not cut on your body or put shots into your system. Find out for yourself, because she's going to help you alleviate that pain and doing things like walk freely again and playing with your kids or grandkids. So call Dr. Keller now, 718-234-6200. That's 718-234-6200. And let Dr. Keller and the Brooklyn Spine Center help you today. That's 718-234-6200 or brooklynspinecenter.com.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Breaking news on the trending technology you need and can't live without. Ari Zolden of Quantum Media Group, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
And very glad to have you with us. Thank you for being here. Of course, on Tuesdays, we love to talk with Ari Zolden about technology. And he's been kind of hit and miss in the last couple of weeks, but he's finally back. The fall is settling everyone down, and this is how it goes. We can start getting back to a regular schedule. And Ari, we've missed you. Good to have you back today. I'm hearing some very interesting things that I'm not sure that I would have heard about had I not known you. But there's a couple of headlines we're going to discuss today. And evidently, the concern for social media is not reserved exclusively to parents. In fact, according to a new CNET article, Facebook's own research, this is the headline at CNET, Facebook's own research shows that Instagram is harmful to teens. Now, I think there's a lot of reasons why I can imagine it might be harmful to teens. But Ari, what did Facebook's research demonstrate?
Sure. And I have to say, Kevin, I'm blown away not only about the research and the numbers, but just the fact that, you know, Facebook is actually shining a spotlight on some of their products and services like Instagram. Although obviously there are benefits even for the, you know, the younger generation to social media. But there's now coming into question, you know, what the risks are. Certainly as it relates to mental health of teens, they went ahead and they conducted a survey over the course of 3 years, and they conducted that indeed Instagram is harmful for a sizable percentage. And then they went ahead further and they highlighted teenage girls as a specific area of interest because of what's been going on with social media as it relates to body shaming and anorexia and anxiety and depression and the list goes on, unfortunately. But they've been very, very vocal about it. And now the fact that there's research supporting that, now the attention focuses on, okay, what is Facebook and Instagram and some of the other social media networks going to do about it?
Well, I think this is interesting because I think that parents could have told you a long time ago that there are things about social media that they may not be particularly very fond of. The addictive nature, how much kids feel compelled to always be checking it, like, you know, every minute of the day. And when it comes to girls in particular, I mean, we've seen popular television shows and movies and other things kind of take up this whole idea. But the drive to be an influencer for girls, particularly young girls that, you know, have a degree of attractiveness and they're told by everybody in their circle, oh, you could make $1 million being an Instagram model. And in fact, Instagram influencer is now a thing that people aspire to want to be when they grow up. And that never appeared on, you know, kids' lists of things. You know, I want to be a fireman or, you know, a carpenter or something else. This is now something that people are actually giving thought to. What were some of the things that, because you have to, I guess, applaud Facebook for saying this is a real problem and Instagram is their own product. So it, you know, they're hurting themselves by telling the truth, which I think shows a degree of character. But what are some of the ideas about how to fix it? Because I don't know that it can be very easily.
So I think, Kevin, it's going to be a hybrid approach. I think part of it is clearly the responsibility of the parents to be able to oversee the child's.
Well, I would put about 98% of the responsibility on the parents, because if your kids can't handle social media, don't give them a phone. You know, like
100%, 100%. I do think a majority, whether it's, you know, half a majority, you know, should be weighted on the parents. But, you know, I think it's also, obviously, it's the social media companies to be able to put in certain stopgaps in there as well. And they've done that. Apple's done that with screen time and trying to limit some of the usages that some of the users are using.
In the same article, Instagram is announcing that they are planning to release a platform that's made for kids under the age of 13. Are there things they can do on a different place, essentially on the internet, that would help people not fall into the traps of what the main place does for them?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, YouTube did that a while ago with YouTube Kids. The content is completely filtered. You're limited in the ability of uploading videos. And it's a great, great kid-friendly platform. And I think these social media networks, you know, and I think, you know, at large, you know, things are obviously trending towards, you know, kids being online. So if they're going to be online, or at least they're going to figure out how to get online, let's at least create platforms where it's child-friendly. And I think a lot of the social media networks also are going to be focused on kid-centric platforms, which I think is a great move.
We're not far, Ari, from the next iPhone launch, and I know you're somewhat ambivalent about the iPhone because you're not an Apple guy all the way, but you know that I am a big fan.
Right.
So what is the what's the scuttlebutt? What are we hearing about what the iPhone 13 is going to bring about?
So, you know, obviously we're talking about a better camera, faster processor. What's interesting with this one is that the first time that they're using satellite technology to be able to transfer calls in case you're out of a cell network. So if you don't have cell coverage, it's able to bounce onto a satellite network and you're still able to complete the text or complete the phone call, which I think is really, really interesting. It's still heavily going to rely on the 5G network, but as a backup, they've got the satellite infrastructure, which are going to be leveraging. But aside from that, it's tweaks and modifications to, you know, the iPhone 12. Obviously, it comes with a price ticket with the newer models. And, you know, I've always maintained, I think that Apple makes just across the board, they make great products. And, you know, there's no need to upgrade necessarily after every revision, after every new model.
Well, this is going to be interesting. And I'm guessing that the ability to hit a satellite, I mean, they're going to have to plan for enough bandwidth going to those birds to be able to handle, you know, eventually the crush that they're going to get from these things.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, it's only going to be used in an emergency case, only when, you know, you can't. I mean, you know, most of America is mapped, you know, has cell connections.
So this is if I'm vacationing in South Africa or somewhere.
Exactly. Or if there's some kind of an emergency that happens and the cell towers get congested. Which do happen.
Yeah.
This gives a real alternative to that.
Well, in the aftermath of 9/11, 20 years ago, the cell towers on top of the Twin Towers went down, and a lot of people were without cell service. It would have been very comforting for people to have the ability to get those texts through anyway on that day. So maybe we're making some progress here. Hey, Ari, always appreciate all your insight. Thank you for being here.
You bet. Thank you, Kevin.
Follow him on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere else at Ari Zoldan, A-R-I-Z-O-L-D-A-N, and you'll be glad you did. Kevin McCullough coming right back. My final thought, don't go away.
Open the Bible with Colin Smith.
God cursed Satan when sin came into the world, but instead of saying to Adam, "Cursed are you," God said, "Cursed is the ground because of you." Now, here's something that you really need to know about the God of the Bible. He will destroy all evil, but at the same time, he deflects the curse away from the man and the woman. It falls to the ground and not on them directly, and that creates room for them to be reconciled to God. You see, God is just, and the curse must go somewhere. And that's why God sent his Son and directed the curse for our sin onto him. At the cross, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us.
Are you open to discovering what the Bible says about God? Then come to OpenTheBible.org.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Glad to have you with us and asking you, will you hear the cries of Christians globally that are begging for copies of God's Word? We're talking about people that can't get the Bible in a normal or natural way and are needing someone to get it for them. That's where the Bible League comes in. And Michael Woolworth, I know that the Bible League reach is full of examples of people that have been persecuted, cannot get God's Word, but desperately, desperately want it.
Well, we're hearing all the atrocities in Afghanistan that Christians are facing there, Kevin. I was in the Middle East not too long ago. I met a 19-year-old young lady by the name of Aria. Her father, a mullah, great standing in his community as an interpreter of Islamic law, essentially accepted an invitation of a Christian friend to come to a Bible study from Bible League. About 8 weeks into that, she would receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, took that little booklet home, hid it in her room because she still lived at home. Her mother found it, gave it to the father. He beat her nearly to death, called the authorities to report her as an infidel. They took her away to a remote cell. They beat her. They violated her. They tortured her, did the same thing that the Christian friend, finally let them go. And Kevin, these women did not grow bitter. They grew bold. And together they've seen about 200 people come to Christ there in the Middle East. And their prayer is not for an end to the suffering. They're praying for what? The Word of God in Arabic for these new believers in Jesus Christ.
And you can make that happen, friends. 1-800-YES-WORD. They need 200 Bibles, $5 a piece. 1-800-937-9673. 1-800-937-9673. You can also give online at WMCA.com. And for the next 10 minutes, every Bible you give will be matched Bible for Bible. So please pick up that phone and give right now. It's going to make a difference. 1-800-YES-WORD. That's 1-800-YES-WORD or WMCA.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Due to the volatility in the geopolitical landscape and impacts of COVID variants, it's virtually impossible to guess what the market will do next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Want to see the next big stock market moves in advance? Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how our AI analyzes over 1 million data points per day. Text the word money to 813-813 so you can learn how to predict stock market trends up to 3 days ahead with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, Forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to find out how to protect your capital and maximize gains. Text the word money to 813-813 and time your entries and exits to perfection. Don't wait. Text money to 813-813 now.
By texting in, you consent to receive calls, voice, and text messages using automated technology regarding offers by or on behalf of Vantage Point.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us, where every day we do something very simple. We talk about what's breaking news. We talk about what it means. We talk about why it matters. And the why it matters part is very important to our next discussion. It is one of the reasons I am honored to have Adam Waldeck with us. He is founder of 1776 Action. The 1776 group is very, very involved in this, and they want to make sure that you know what they're doing and why they're doing it. And Adam Waldeck joins us now. Adam, good to have you. Thanks for being here. Good to meet you, by the way. The former president had a 1776 commission, and he launched this September Patriotic Education Month. Why did President Trump do that? What was going on in education and in the revisionism of our nation's history that he felt it was important to step up, make that change?
It was a great thing that he did. We're in this bizarre debate over the last couple years in particular, where there's just sort of this whole seems to be this whole fight over who we are as a country, whether or not we're a good country, you know, with opportunities and, you know, based on great principles, or whether we're just this sort of institutionally, systemically racist country that's just full of injustice everywhere you look. And there's been this effort to sort of redefine who it is that we are. I mean, you know, I'm sure you've heard of the, you know, the 1619 Project. There's this effort to sort of say that you can only understand America from the context of race and slavery and things like that. And it's just, it's not only incorrect, but it's just very harmful to be sort of, you know, brainwashing young kids about, you know, about their own country.
I want my listeners to understand we're not just labeling things and saying things about people. There's legitimate differences here. What defies the 1619 Project and the 1776 action groups?
Sure. I mean, I think 1619, you know, that whole effort, you know, the sort of the that was put together by primarily the New York Times is really an effort to redefine America as really kind of that we were created to prolong slavery. That 1619, if your listeners aren't sure what that date refers to, it has to do with the year that the first slaves were brought to the shores of Virginia. And then that's really the argument on their end, is that that's really what, you know, when our nation as we understand it today was created. And then from the other standpoint, 1776 came along, and for the very first time ever, an entirely new country was created around a very revolutionary principle. You know, and the idea that we are all created equal by God with certain inalienable rights. We just had a fantastic event last week with Dr. Carson in Loudoun County, Virginia, and I showed a chart. It was a graph of abolitions across the planet starting in the 1500s. And for years and years and years, it was flat because, as I mentioned, that was sort of the rule. And in 1776, the chart jumped, and it's a massive dramatic change. When we were founded state by state, there were laws passed to outlaw slavery. So what we're trying to do is push back on sort of that rewriting of history and talk about how we're different, how we're unique,
right,
and how we are part of what's right in the world.
Well, and this is becoming ever more relevant because I think largely in part because of two things from last year: the George Floyd riots and the question of critical race theory and the social response to everything that happened in the burning down of cities and the protesting of things. The purpose of CRT is to actually teach children a form of racism that is socially ordained. And the problem, and what I love about the debates that are going on, is that you're seeing many, many, many middle class black families marching against CRT in public schools because they don't want their kid to be taught to be a racist any more than their white neighbor wants them to be taught to be a racist based on color. And this is why this is really turning out to be one of the foremost important debates in the country. And I applaud what 1776 Action is doing. Friends, if you're hearing what Adam's talking about, and maybe you're just waking up to this realization yourself, I would recommend their website, 1776action.org. You can get involved. You can find more information. You can give a donation. You can do all the things that they need. But they're really the tip of the spear on fighting back on what is truly American, just, right, whatever you want to call it, in this debate today. And I think that you would gain a lot of good resources by logging in there, 1776action.org. Adam Waldick, thanks for all that you're doing. A reminder, September is a Patriotic Education Month, as so designated by Donald Trump a year ago. Make sure you get out there and counter those false and misleading accounts of American history, and do so proudly. You're doing it on the shoulders of great patriots and giants that came before you. Adam, thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Don't go away.
It's Dr. Lederman speaking with 007 about prostate cancer. You're
007. The real 007. I was diagnosed in 2005 with prostate cancer. I requested a biopsy.
Why?
Going up, I got a biopsy that I had cancer in my prostate.
And then the doctor told you, hey, you got to have
surgery.
Did your doctor tell you about Dr. Lederman and radiosurgery?
It's his bread and butter to operate. Not only do they leave the cancer behind, which is the most important thing, but you're incontinent and your sex life is kaput. I knew about your treatment, which was very easy to do.
15 years later, your PSA is zero.
My urinary life is okay. My sex life is very good.
For more cancer information, call Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES. Most insurances, Medicare, Medicaid accepted, 1384 Broadway. Call Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES.
Hey, let me ask you something. Would you seat your 3-year-old child on a windowsill? Would you seat them beside a lit fireplace or by the deep end of a pool? One last question. Would you seat your child in a car seat that's not correct for them? Car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Secure their future. Seat them in the correct car seat. For more information, visit safercar.gov/the right seat.
Sponsored by the New York State Governor's Traffic Safety Committee.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Have you ever had a legal question about elder law or estate law? Ask the Lawyer Host, Mike Connors of Connors and Sullivan, answers listeners' questions every Thursday on my show, Kevin McCullough Radio. Just send your email and question to askmikeconnors@gmail.com or call 718-238-6500. And he will also answer them on his show, Ask the Lawyer. That's Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock on AM 570 and FM 102.3, The Mission, WMCA. And Sunday morning starting at 11 on AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to The Mission WMCA anywhere you go with the AM 570 The Mission mobile app. Download on Google Play, iTunes, or listen to TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
From the day of recruitment till graduation day, it takes hard work and dedication to set themselves apart from the rest and call themselves student athletes. Catch all of the action right here on the Army Sports Network.
This is Rich DeMarco. Tune in this Saturday at 11:30 as the Black Knights take on the UConn Huskies on New York's home for Army football. AM 570, 102.3 FM, The Mission.
Hi, I'm Kevin McCullough. There are people that live in all kinds of circumstances, and sometimes the houses we have or the homes that we have inherited or can't seem to service anymore, they become bigger headaches than they're worth. That's why my good friends Sean and George at Swift Homebuyers are ready to help you now. They'll pay cash for your house. It doesn't matter what kind it is. Could be vacant, could be left over from a divorce, a junk house that needs thousands in repairs. They'll buy a house in any condition, at any price. Cash for probate, inherited houses, houses where you have renters that won't pay their rent. Sean and George and Swift Homebuyers are Christians, and they are a family-owned real estate business. Call them today and find out what you can get from them for your house that's given you this headache. 732-800-4020. They'll buy houses in any condition, and they'll pay cash. Kevin McCullough, I trust Swift Homebuyers to get the cash out of your home that you need. I think you should give them a call. 732-800-4020. That's 732-800-4020.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents.
And Doug.
Don't you just love the smell of old books?
This is a library.
Sorry, ma'am. We're looking for a book titled Liberty Mutual Customizes Your Car Insurance So You Only Pay for What You Need.
I don't think we carry that, but check nonfiction.
He really does devour literature.
Please leave.
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Kevin McCullough says she's the most needed editorial voice in print today. Listeners have voted her fan favorite, the amazing mind of Carol Markowitz, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up. Carol is back in the house, and, you know, that's not just a liner here. She is one of the most important voices in commentary today. And I had the chance to make her blush at saying exactly that to a whole table of people at the Manhattan Institute Gala this last weekend. Carol, it was fun. I didn't know they were going to sit us at the same table together, but I sure was glad that they did.
Great.
And we had a great time. Let's talk. You have a book coming out next year about this, and you have been, in some ways, what Janice Dean has been on the Governor Cuomo issue. Carol Markowitz has been to schooling and pandemic. In other words, you're the authority. And school's back in session. You know, it's different for different schools throughout the tri-state. We've certainly seen how it's been for us. But what about the city schools? What are your kids facing? What are your thoughts as you've now kicked off this year where they're finally going back to school?
Well, it's a mixed bag. A lot of people are very happy, obviously, to have their kids back at school. And because of that, they really don't want to complain about the insanity that they see around them. There was a video that came out yesterday. This union had posted that they were spraying down with, disinfectant the buildings to get it ready and, disinfecting all the surfaces. And it's like, we knew a year ago that this does not spread on surfaces. Now, I like cleaning surfaces as much as anybody else, but we're spending such an insane amount of money on this, and it doesn't do anything. And there's so many other things that we're doing that is really either completely irrelevant to stopping the spread of COVID or outright damaging to children. And usually it's both.
Well, let's talk about what some of those things are. You identify that in the city's school system, there's not going to be sports. There's not going to be talking during lunch. I hadn't heard about that one. But what are some of the more insane things that New York City is doing?
So for older kids, they're going to be allowed to play sports if they're vaccinated. For younger kids, so for example, I have a 5 and 8 year old, 5 and 8 year old boys and an 11 year old girl. My boys will not be able to play sports at recess because they have to be masked, which, okay, that's crazy, but that, is not really relevant here. But they also they have to keep a distance. They have to be masked and socially distanced outside in September of 2021. How do you play sports? How do you play soccer when you're socially distanced? How do you play basketball? How do you play anything? How do you play tag? And yet nobody seems to care about this. Nobody seems to care that masking outside is a crazy thing to do. Masking in general, I think we should be dropping a long time ago. I think we now know, and we've been told by people who have worked in the Biden administration as COVID advisors, that cloth masks are useless. They don't do anything. We've known this the whole time, but we really need to face it now. And the blue masks also, a study came out recently that showed that the blue masks do very, very little to contain spread. The masks that work are N95 masks, which are obviously really heavy duty, need to be fitted to the face and not appropriate for children. So many places around the world have never masked kids. In America, we do it from age 2. This is crazy, and we need to stop.
What are the current standards for the school in terms of vaccinated teachers? Are there discussions about requiring students to be vaccinated? What's the standard there?
So in New York City, teachers now need to be vaccinated. It was a very last minute addition, which sent a lot of teachers scrambling to get vaccinated or they wouldn't be able to come to work. For students, it hasn't been implemented yet, but Bill de Blasio keeps inferring that he will be moving it on to children age 12 and up. And when the vaccination in a few weeks, probably, or in a month or two at most, reaches the 5 to 11 set, I imagine we're going to do that as well. Now, I'm very pro-vaccination. I got vaccinated myself as soon as I could. But kids don't need it. Kids literally unvaccinated children have the same risks as vaccinated adults, usually even lower risks. So we're doing really unnecessary things to children. We don't know what these vaccines will do to kids. I don't want to get my kids vaccinated. I can envision a world where I'll be forced into it. But it's absolutely something that they do not require because their childhood, their youth is their immunity to this thing.
Let me ask you, in light of this pressure, which is being seen in a handful of places, the teachers' unions on schools, mm-hmm. the White House, that awful speech that Biden gave last week where he was basically like, I'm going to grab the most amount of power possible ever grabbed by a president. You know, the same weekend that he gives that speech on a Thursday, that same Saturday, you have a half dozen to a dozen college football stadiums chant their displeasure with mm-hmm. him over that in mm-hmm. very colorful language that I would not approve my children of using. but they made it very clear their thoughts on all this. And then on mm-hmm. Sunday, you saw NFL games and you see Major League Baseball games and you see the gatherings of Americans by the thousands, tens of thousands. And it felt like almost for half a second that we were kind of back into a normal existence again. Is the politicization of COVID over, and has America basically vetoed Biden's attempt to politicize it and said, no, we're not going to let you get away with it?
Well, I have some bad news for you, Kevin, and some bad news for myself in that, yes, it is over in many, many sane places around the country, but it is not over where we live, and it will not be over for some time. They refuse to face any scientific fact. I mean, again, the fact that we're masking the lowest risk population, children, and we're masking them outside and we're making them socially distanced in September of 2021 just shows that the people around us do not want to move on. They do not want to face the realities of this thing. They do not want to believe that this is endemic. COVID is endemic. We're going to be living with this forever. I wish that wasn't so, but we've seen that the vaccines, while very effective, do not necessarily prevent spread, which is a giant part of vaccination generally. And we don't think that we're ever going to reach herd immunity. This is not me talking. This is scientists. They no longer believe herd immunity is possible. So we're living in a crazy place. You know, there's a lot of writers and talk radio people that talk about the national divorce. And for me, I've always been like, well, I'm a New Yorker. I don't want to nationally divorce. I like being conservative in New York, but I don't know. I think we are heading towards some kind of separation where more people, more red conservative people will leave these blue states and move to redder states, especially with these COVID restrictions not going anywhere.
Fissuring that's going on for sure. And Carol, we always appreciate your insights. And we missed you all summer while you were away. So thanks for coming back.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Don't go away. Hi, Kevin McCullough. My friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their life. You know that. But he didn't stop at just creating the best pillow. Now Mike has gone and done it again by introducing his My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this technology. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoor or out all day long, made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and they're made with quality leather suede. I know I'm wearing mine right now. For a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable, you'll want to get some for the whole family. So call 800-651-0798 and use promo code WMCA. Or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code WMCA. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 800-651-0798 and use promo code WMCA.
Download the AM570 The Mission mobile app on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on WMCA.com, TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian, at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you will be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, friends. I believe that our event tomorrow afternoon from 5 to 8 p.m., tomorrow evening, I guess, is sold out at the Hunt and Fish Club. I've received word that all the tables have been reserved. I don't know if that's true. If you still want to come and help us broadcast for Broadway, Christine Nicholas and myself will be doing the Radio Night Live broadcast tomorrow night. And we've got Brad Oscar from Mrs. Doubtfire. We've got Pearl's son from Come From Away. And we've got Brian Stokes Mitchell, two-time Tony Award winner, who's going to come and be with us, amongst others. We have others that are going to be there, but we would love for you to join us. And I hope it's not too late. Call now and see if there are any tables left. 347-625-1220, 347-625-1220. But looking forward to that. Final thought for today, and it is really a shame that this still happens, but it's not really surprising that it does. The host at CNN, his name is Don Lemon. He's a primetime talk host for the network, has called on Americans to shun stupid, unvaccinated people on Wednesday, saying they should be left behind because they were harmful to the greater good. During a discussion with Chris Cuomo, so-and-so's brother, at the start of the show, Lemon blasted those not choosing to not get the vaccine because they weren't sure about its content by oddly comparing it to Botox injections and people being unaware of what was in them but taking them regardless. He says, I think we have to stop coddling people when it comes to the vaccine, saying, oh, you can't shame them. You can't call them stupid. Yes, they are. The people who are aided and abetted Trump are stupid because they believe his big lie. Lemon said, making an unclear comparison between former Trump and vaccine hesitancy within some communities. It was not Donald Trump that said you should have hesitancy about the vaccine. Joe Biden said that he would not take the vaccine because it was developed on Donald Trump's watch. Kamala Harris, during the campaign, said she couldn't take a vaccine that was developed under the Trump administration when asked about it. These people said repeatedly, what are you going to do, trust a vaccine that Trump's people came up with, when it really wasn't Trump or anything related to Trump that came up with the vaccine? It was big pharmaceutical companies working together to try to develop a vaccine as fast as possible through a program called Operation Warp Speed. I don't think Don Lemon should be shaming anyone, whether they get the vaccine or not. I think getting the vaccine is a personal decision. I think if you've had the COVID infection and you have recovered, research is showing you've got better antibodies than anybody who's vaccinated anyway. But friends, this is the kind of dishonest stuff that's going on in media that makes people not trust media anymore. Because Don Lemon says that it was Donald Trump that told you it was unsafe to take the vaccine. Donald Trump pushed for the vaccine to be created so that you could take it. It was Joe Biden and Kamala Harris that said they didn't trust it. And now they wonder why African Americans and Latinos in large numbers don't trust them on their advice to now go get the vaccine that they're now saying they should take, but that formerly they had said they shouldn't. Was it Donald Trump that did that? I'm Kevin McCullough.